Behold what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Let's bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before You tonight praising You and thanking You for Your goodness. Thanking You, Lord, for the privilege that You've given us to come here tonight on this beautiful rainy evening that we might worship You. We thank You, Lord, for the beautiful rain that You've given us today, and we needed it so desperately. Pray for our brother Eugene and Bruce as they are in Kenya, and we'll start just a few hours, Lord, preaching and teaching the college students and those preachers in that area the Word of God. We pray, Father, that their time there will be extremely spiritually productive, that Lord Christ would be glorified, and that those preachers would be built up in their faith, that they might do the work that You've called them to do in a more efficient manner. Heavenly Father, we do continue to pray for Linda McCatherine as she is still struggling. We pray, Father, that You would have mercy on her and help her to a complete recovery. Pray, Father, if she is so weak, that You would just be with her in great power and bring healing to her body. Lord, take the Word of God tonight that we are looking at, just drive it into our souls. Help us, Lord, that we might become more like Jesus as a result of the things that we get from Your Word this evening. And it's in Your holy, wonderful, and precious name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to look at one of the greatest truths in Scripture, the subject of adoption. And it starts off with a great word that's an attention getter, and it's the word behold. Now, I was reading from the ESV, most of you are, and it doesn't start out that way. It just says see. That's a bad translation. It should be behold. And if you go through the Scripture, it's amazing how often the Lord will use that word in a very, very important text. For example, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, after Adam and Eve had sinned against God and eaten the forbidden fruit, the Scripture says, and this is the Lord speaking, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing both good and evil. When John the Baptist saw Jesus coming down to the river to be baptized, John just stopped all that he was doing and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. When Jesus had been flogged by the cat of nine tails whip, and they took him, put a purple robe on his shoulders, and they took the crown of thorns, they crushed it down on his brow. They brought him before Pilate, and Pilate said, behold the man. So that word is an attention getter. It is a word that says, listen, listen carefully, pay attention. Don't let this get by you. And that's what he's saying to start this passage. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that what we might be called the children of God. Now this evening what I want us to do is hone in on this subject of adoption. It's an aspect of God's love that I think we too often neglect. And if we don't neglect it all completely, we just don't meditate on it nearly as enough as we should. How important is adoption? Let me say it this way. How would you answer the question, what is a Christian? I think you could define a Christian this way. A Christian is one who has God as Father. Contrary to popular belief, God is not the Father of every human being. God is the Creator of every human being, but He is only the Father of those who know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. The Scriptures tell us that there are two seeds. There's the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. The seed of the serpent is Satan and all those who follow him and reject Christ. The seed of the woman is Christ and all those who are in Christ. Jesus said to the religious leaders of his day, you are of your father, the devil. Those who are of the have their father as God are those who are in Christ and those who belong to Him. I have come to believe that the doctrine of adoption is one of the most important doctrines in all of Scripture. The Scripture says in John chapter 1, verse 12, "For as many as received Him, to them gave He power to be children of God, even to those who believe on His name." Through the process of adoption, we become legal heirs of God our Father. Three truths that I want to consider as we look at these three verses tonight. Number one is adoption teaches us God's love. John begins verse 1 this way, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath given unto us, that we might be called the children of God." Scott Starcher is here with us tonight. He's an elder here at Grace, and he told me a story years ago that just brings tears to my eyes every time I think about it. A friend who lives in upstate South Carolina. I know that's God's country. But he's got a friend up there, and about once a month his friend goes to visit an orphanage. It's near Clemson. And when he goes to visit that orphanage, he goes kind of as a big brother, and he spends kids just playing with them and just helping them to have a good time. One Saturday morning he walked in, and when he walked in, he saw something a little strange. There was a little boy about 10, 11 years old, and he had his school books, his textbooks, all out on a table, just spread all over the table, and he was studying furiously. And Scott's friend walked over and he tapped him on the shoulder. He said, "Son, what are you doing in here? It's Saturday morning. You ought to be out playing ball and running and jumping, having a good time. What are you doing here studying like this?" And the little boy looked up at him and said, "I'm going to study as hard as I can." Because he said, "Maybe if I study as hard as I can and I make all A's, then somebody will want to adopt me." Kids who don't have parents have a hole in their life. Kids who don't have parents have an emptiness. And they want that anchor. They want that stabilizing factor in their life. They want someone to protect them, someone to care about them, someone that they can follow, someone to look up to, someone who will truly love them. They want a mom and a dad. That's what children need, and brothers and sisters, that's what we need from God. J.I. Packer's book entitled Knowing God, he has a whole chapter that's devoted to the doctrine of adoption. And he says that adoption is the highest privilege that the gospel offers. Now, when I read that for the first time, I had to think about that for a while. I'm not just a preacher, I'm a Reformed preacher. And Reformed people have always looked to the doctrine of justification as our great doctrine. A doctrine of justification is so important. It's a doctrine that God used in the life of Martin Luther to open his eyes and bring him from religion to Christ, as he gave him the verse, Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, that says, "The just shall live by faith." What is justification? It is a legal judicial decree of God, where God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, declares us legally forgiven of all of our sins, past, present, and future, and imputes to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That was the rally cry of the Reformation. We are not saved by works, not by going to church, not by giving our tithes, not by buying indulgences, not by anything. We are saved by grace through faith plus nothing. Now, brothers and sisters, that's enough to make experience shout. That's glorious. I mean, what can be better than justification, being forgiven? Let me tell you what can be better: adoption. In adoption, we become part of God's family. He becomes my father, I become his son. How big a deal is that? Glorious. Glorious because it says that God forgives. But adoption says that I have become a legal heir of God. Now, I've had people in my life to do me wrong and just treat me unjustly. And in times, God has given me the grace to forgive those people. And when I forgive those people, I can just kind of move on with life. And me and that person are still things okay. But you know, when I've forgiven that person, I've never asked one of them to be part of my family. I've never said, I want to give you my name. And yet, that's exactly what adoption does. That's why the Apostle John says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we might be called the children of God. He took you into His family. You belong. John Piper and his wife, Noelle, adopted a little black girl into their family when she was about 2 weeks old. They named her Talitha. Her last name is Piper. And Cindy and I went to a Piper conference probably 16 years ago. Talitha at that time was about 7. And I can remember watching her relate to her mama, Noelle. And she would dress like Noelle. She carried her Bible like Noelle. She talked like Noelle. And she was right there at her feet. I mean, she did not get away from her. There were about 1,000 old ugly preachers that were there. She's probably scared to death. But she would not get away from her. I've been reading John Piper's books and listening to his sermons for about 40 years. And since he has adopted Talitha into his family, his stance on racism has greatly changed. But before, he hated racism because it was a stench in the nostrils of the holy God, and it was a blight, a cancer on society. But he hates it a whole lot more now because he sees the potential of what racism could do to his daughter. Talitha is not a friend in passing to John Piper. She's a little who he used to rock to sleep at night. She's the one who he taught to pray and to read the scriptures. She's the little 7-year-old girl who sat in his lap during that time and kissed him before he went to bed at night. Racism used to be a sin against society, but to John Piper, at this point in his life, racism is a sin against family. That makes the issue deeper. That makes the issue personal. Now, I want you to think about this and think about it deeply. God the Father loves God the Son with a love that is so wonderful, so powerful, so deep, that nothing can alter it. And if you're a true Christian, you're in Christ, and God loves you with the same love that He loves His Son. I don't know about you, that blows my mind. I can understand God the Father loving His Son. How God the Father could love me in that same way blows my mind. That's why we call it amazing grace. Secondly, not only does adoption teach us God's love, but it also solidifies our position. John said that we should be called children of God. Ephesians 1, 3-5 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. I am not just a forgiven sinner. I'm a child of God. I bear His name. I'm in His family. And this is what blows my mind. That before Adam and Eve were even created. He knew that I was going to be filled with sin and rebellious. He knew I was going to be hard-headed and stubborn. And He saved me and adopted me and made me part of His family. And it was done for Jesus Christ's sake. I was adopted into God's family. You as a Christian were adopted into God's family. Not just to keep you out of hell, but that your life might glorify Christ and that you might know God's love. Several decades ago, there was a 9-year-old boy who was in an accident, car accident, with his mom and dad. His mom and dad were in the front seat. His mom and dad were both killed in that accident. He miraculously lived through it. They were on a lonely road, and he looked. He saw that his mom and dad were both dead. He didn't have any other family outside of them. He did not want to go to an orphanage. He did not want to go to some reform school or something like that. So he ran. He took off. He lived out on the streets. Got a job as a 9-year-old boy delivering newspapers in one of the wealthiest neighborhoods in all of Chicago. One day he was carrying his papers and he saw a bunch of kids playing up on the front yard of this big house. And he wondered to himself, I wonder what that would be like to live in a place like that. And so he walked on down a little further and there was a big house there. And he knew that there was no children in that home, just a man and his wife. And so he wondered, I wonder if they would consider me. And he went and he knocked on the door and a man came to the door and he looked at this little dirty boy. And he said to him, well, son, what can I do for you? And the little boy said, well, sir, he said, I see you've got this big house here and it's just you and your wife. And I wondered if you might want a kid. And the man said, well, son, do you have one in mind? And he said, yes, sir, me. And he said, well, I'm sure that your mom and dad probably wouldn't like that. He said, my mom and dad are dead. He said, well, you probably live with your aunt or your uncle. And no, he said, I live under the bridge down the road here. And about that time, the man's wife was walking through the room and he called her over. He said, honey, do you want a child? And she said, what? And he explained the story. They decided that day to adopt that little boy. They brought him in for lunch and he had lunch. And then they told him to go up in the bathroom and take a good bath. Then they took him out. They bought him several different outfits of clothes and burned the clothes that he had. And then they took him to a sports store, bought him a baseball bat, baseball glove, and a ball. And they came back and they began to play ball, spent the whole rest of the day playing ball with him. At night, they got ready to go to bed, showed him his new bedroom, said, we're going to be right down the hall. This is our bedroom. If you need us, we're down there. Well, they went to sleep. During the time that they were sleeping, all of a sudden, the man had to wake up because he heard some noise in his bedroom, and he looked over and he saw the little boy that was reaching up on the chest of drawers where he kept his billfold. And he thought, oh no, he's not stealing, is he? And he flipped the light on. The little boy just froze. He said, son, are you stealing my money? And the little boy, the mother had looked up on the chest of drawers and she saw this pile and she looked up to see what it was, and it was 36 pennies. And he had taken 36 pennies and he'd put them up on the top of the chest of drawers. And she said, what is this? And he said, that's all the money that I've got. And she said, what did you do that for? He said, I just wanted to pay you for being my mom and dad. He said, you don't need to ever do that. You can't pay us. All we want you to do is to love us. You know, that boy grew up to be one of the great doctors in the Midwest. Folks, we need to look at our adoption in that same way. We can't earn it. We can't pay it back. All we can do is to love and honor God. That's what He wants us to do. I want to read you a statement that J.I. Packer made on our covenant position as children of God. Packer said this, and I love this statement. He said, God receives us as sons and loves us with the same steadfast affection with which He eternally loves His beloved, only begotten. There are no distinctions of affection in the divine family. We are all loved just as fully as Jesus is loved. It's like a fairy tale. The reigning monarch adopts waifs and strays to make princes of them. Praise God, it's not a fairy story. It is a hard and solid fact, founded on the bedrock of free and sovereign grace. All right, thirdly, adoption fills us with hope. Look at verse 2 and 3. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Now, what hope is He talking about here? He is saying this: if I'm a child of God, adopted into the family of Jesus, then I know I will not stay in this old, aging, sinful body. But one day I will be changed and I will be like Jesus. Why? Because I'm His child. Because I'm His child. The word hope in the New Testament is the Greek word elpis. And our English word hope is not like it at all. When we say hope, we use it synonymous with wish. Like, I hope it doesn't rain. That means it might rain, it might not rain. I just wish it wouldn't. That's not the word that's used here. It's the word here is not like our English word, which is an iffy expectation. The word hope here is a certain reality. Like Titus chapter 2, verse 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, that passage tells us that Jesus is coming back and we can put that in the bank. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 8, 15 through 17. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we also may be glorified with Him. Now, what does that mean? That means that we're going to share with Christ in His glory. We're going to be with Him in heaven. We are going to receive new glorified bodies. We're going to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ forever and ever. Adoption promises us hope, which is a certain reality. In the Roman government, in the Roman environment, back in Paul's day, they had a rule that if a family adopted a child, then there could not be a dissolution between the family and that child. They could not disown that child if it had been adopted. Now, if they had a natural-born child, they could disown it. But if it was an adopted child, it was an unconditional covenant, and that was their child no matter what. And brothers and sisters, that's the way it is with us. We are unconditionally adopted into God's family, and He will never leave us nor forsake us. The position of a child of God is settled forever. Everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Adoption is, I think, one of the greatest motivations for correct Christian conduct. If God is truly our Heavenly Father, then we ought to be acting like Him. We ought to be pleasing Him and honoring Him with our lives. The Lord blessed me with a wonderful dad. He was a role model to me. He was a great example to me. He was my best friend. And always just loved him greatly. But when I was in college, before I came to Christ, I was partying and pretty much making a fool of myself. And one night during the Christmas vacation when I'd come back home from school, I got together with some of my old high school chums. And so we went out partying that night. And one of my friends that was driving the car pulled up in one of our neighbors' front yards. And it was raining and he got stuck. And he was spinning his wheels and making a mess of the man's yard. Man came out and he saw us out there and came and saw what was going on. And I mean, he was hot and he should have been. And he looked over there at me and he said, "Hey," he said, "aren't you Dutch Agnew's son?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, that's funny because you sure don't act like him." Oh, and I remember it was like a dagger went through my heart. I loved my dad and I was dragging his name through the mud. I didn't get saved until a year later, but let me tell you something. I cleaned up my act in that neighborhood. Dad had labored for years to build a good reputation, and I did not want to besmirch his name. I found the same thing to be true in my relationship with God. When I contemplate on who I am, that I'm a child of God, that I bear Jesus' name, that should affect how I live. The doctrine of adoption militates against antinomianism. The antinomian says that, oh, I can become a Christian just by making a quick little decision, by making a quick little profession of faith. That's all that's necessary. So then I can make this profession of faith. I can shake a preacher's hand. I can walk down the aisle, and that's all that's necessary. Then I can live like the devil because I got a ticket to heaven and a license to sin. No, my adoption will not allow that. As Christians, we strive to be obedient as a means of pleasing our Father. Brothers and sisters, that's not legalism. We don't do that out of duty. We don't do that out of obligation. We don't do that because we have to. We do that because we love Him and because it's a privilege. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Adoption puts law keeping on a new footing. As children of God, we acknowledge the law's authority as a rule for our lives because we know that this is what our Father wants from us. Adoption purifies the heart. Let's look at verse 3 one more time. "And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." Once again, what is the hope? The hope is this. The day is coming when I'm going to meet Jesus face to face. I'm going to see the love in His eyes. I'm going to see the holiness, the purity in His countenance. I'm going to see the nail prints in His hands. Now, when Isaiah saw his vision of the Lord on His throne, when Isaiah saw the Lord on His throne in all of His glory and all of His majesty and all of His power, he actually called down a curse upon himself. It scared him so bad. And he said, I'm an unclean man who lives in the midst of people of unclean lips. And he said, I'm an emotional wreck. I'm totally undone. How can I stand before a holy, omniscient, omnipotent, immutable God? How can I do that? Here's how you do it, Isaiah. You ask the truth of adoption, that sovereign potentate on that throne is your Father. He's your Father, the King. He loves me not because I deserve to be loved, not because I'm good enough to be loved, but because I belong to Him as His child. That's the hope that purifies me. That's the hope that drives me to a more godly conduct. I bear the name of Christ, God Almighty, my Father. And when I see Him face to face, I won't have to just fall down and tremble like Isaiah did. I should be able to run to Him and to embrace Him. Why? And cry out to Him, Abba, Father, because I belong to Him and He belongs to me. That's my hope. That's my hope, and that hope is settled in eternity. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews said, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. "Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You hear what's being said there? I don't have to walk on eggshells before the throne of grace because the blood of Jesus has purchased my sonship. Jesus paid for my adoption. Scott and Nancy Starcher went to the Ukraine a few years ago, and several years now. They went to an orphanage. There was a little 2-year-old girl, blonde-headed girl, whose name was Oksana. When they walked in the front door of that orphanage, that little girl came running up to Scott, jumped up in his arms, and said one word, "Papa, Papa." They had opportunity to pick from a lot of those kids that were there that day, and they didn't have much of a decision to make. That one word paved the way for them, and they knew exactly who they needed to bring home. I'll never forget watching Scott and Nancy tear up as they shared that story, and what a glorious story it was. And people, I may be wrong, but I don't think so. I believe the heart of God is moved in much the same way as we address our God as Abba, Father, a term of honor, love, respect, and affection. That's the Lord I long to meet. The Lord I meet will be the great judge of all things, but He will also be my Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You and we thank You today that You have given us the privilege of calling You Papa. Our Father, help us, Heavenly Father, that we might never forget that. Father, that might be the truth that motivates us to live for You. That we won't try to be good just out of a sense of legalism or duty or obligation, But Lord, we would desire to be obedient to You because You're our Father. Guide and direct us, Lord, in what we do. May our lives bring You honor and glory. May we live with that constant reminder in our ear day by day that You're our Papa. We love You, praise You, and thank You for loving us. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.